This is Jay Sekulow. The relations between the United States and Turkey at the brink.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
They are saying we're trying him on espionage, which he is not guilty of, which he has not done. And I think what we need to do is just we need to make it very clear, as I did with three government officials in Turkey and Ankara that I met with, that this is a serious impediment to the U.S.-Turkey relationship.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The relationship between these two countries is now at stake.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Day 3 on this case involving Pastor Andrew Brunson. And we're doing this today, and I'll tell you the reason why. We're about to go into the period of time where we are preparing witnesses for testimony. CeCe Holler, Senior Counsel, is going to talk about that but address it. But I just want to let you know that while it may not be on the news every day after today, the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, and our affiliates around the globe are working to secure the release of this pastor. So there's a lot of work going on that you're not going to probably be reading about or hearing over the next couple of weeks as we prepare for the next phase of this sham trial, which is what it is. I want to be clear on this, and I know we've had a lot of calls about this. Is there any chance that he would be acquitted? I mean, there's always a chance, but I don't think that's reality. This is a political move by Turkey, and we need to respond with diplomatic force in a very aggressive way. So let me give you the latest update on this, because I think it's important for you to understand where it is. So we were on the broadcast yesterday talking about the status of the case, the fact that the case has now been reset for a May date, May 7th. No guarantee, by the way, that the Turks will keep that into the bargain, whether they'll actually bring the pastor to trial. But I will tell you, the pastor is in desperate shape, as you can imagine. So I want to first talk about his emotional state. As you can imagine, after a year and a half in jail, and the judge at the end of the proceedings makes the statement, is what would you like us to do, basically, CeCe? That's what he said. And then, so I want CeCe to, we had contacts inside the courtroom telling us what was going on. And then, of course, we had Ambassador Brown back there. The Turks put this guy, the pastor, in a jail, one of the worst jails in Turkey, with an American ambassador at large for religious freedom and a sitting U.S. senator in the courtroom. And they still did this. And as Andy Economo said yesterday, we need a lot more stick and a lot less carrot right now, in my view. But CeCe, you spoke to Noreen, his wife. You've heard that he's in very desperate shape.
He is in desperate shape. The worst thing that could have happened to him yesterday was being sent back to the original prison that he was at, the overcrowded, just horrible conditions. So that just broke him.
So at the end of the trial, though, they gave you this kind of glimmer of hope, even
yes.
with him.
Right.
Until they,
that's right.
So paint the picture for what took place inside.
So it was a 13-hour trial.
Right.
For almost half of it, Pastor Brunson gave his defense eloquently and really beautifully. He did it. And then they brought in some of the secret witnesses who the voices, and of course you couldn't see their face, voices garbled. And then at the end, the judge said, Pastor Brunson, what is your request? And he said, I would simply like to be returned to the United States. So the judge goes into his summary, and it looked like possibly he would be released, which would have been an interim decision that the judge could have made. But unfortunately, at the end, he was not only not released, he was remanded to the worst prison he could be remanded to.
So Andy, we talked about this yesterday in the broadcast, but the fact is, we know, without a doubt, that this is not a real trial. I call it a sham proceeding.
It is a sham proceeding. It's a joke. It's fake. He's the judge is receiving his orders from Ankara.
Right.
He's receiving his orders from Erdogan and Erdogan's stooges, who are telling him exactly what to do and how to do it. And they're telling him to stay out of releasing this pastor, keep this sham going as long as it can.
All right, we're going to have more on this, including the vice president reaching out to the pastor's wife yesterday. More on this, again, working tirelessly to secure his release. So pray for our legal team, but also pray for this pastor, more important than anything else. And we'll give you an update on that in a moment. ACLJ.org, if you want to stay engaged on this issue. Make sure you're reaching out on our social media platform so you know what's happening on this case. As I said, we're going to get into a period where it's going to be a little bit quieter on air because we are getting into the witness preparation phase. But that doesn't mean that we're not working tirelessly around the clock to secure this pastor's relief. It's a desperate situation, and that means we have to take aggressive action. We're doing that. Back with more in just a moment.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. This is our probably final day of major coverage until we get closer to the trial in the case involving Andrew Brunson. Let me give you an update here. And C.C. Howell, senior counsel, is with me, as well as senior counsel Andy Economo, Dr. Andrew Economo. Let me say this first. The vice president reached out to Noreen, that's the wife of the pastor, late yesterday afternoon. What was the context of that discussion?
Yes, he made a personal phone call where he expressed his deepest concern, as well as the president's deepest concern, and promised to continue pressing for his release. And then also mentioned that he was going to follow up personally about getting Pastor Brunson transferred back to the better prison.
Yeah, so to me, that's fine as an interim measure, but he should be transferred to the better facility. But that's not a solution to this. I mean, let's not lull into that. I mean, I appreciate what the vice president's saying. He's right. We need to get him into an interim situation that's better, but they need to release this American pastor. And that's exactly what we have. We have on the phone right now with us the pastor's daughter, Jacqueline. Jacqueline, I know you've been talking with your family about, what's your sense of this? I know it's a very difficult time for your father and your mother and for your entire family. Tell us what your sense is.
Honestly, right now, the whole family is pretty disappointed. We'd had our hopes up for my dad being released yesterday, and when that didn't happen, and then he was moved to this overcrowded prison that had been really a hard place for him to be before. It's just a crushing blow to the family right now.
I think it's important for our audience, both on TV, radio, or that are listening to us around the country, around the world, actually, what your family was doing in Turkey, because these charges they have are just totally false. But what was your family doing in Turkey for 23 years? You grew up in Turkey, basically.
Yeah, I grew up in Turkey. My parents were there. They lived there for 23 years before all of this happened, and they ran a church. They had different ministries, like a house of prayer, and their whole life was dedicated to leading people to Christ and sharing the gospel and showing people God's love. That was their life's work. That's why they were in Turkey.
You know, Andy, you've talked about this, that, I mean, we call the charge Christianization because that's what's actually in the indictment.
That's correct.
But this pastor, and we got his daughter on the phone, Jacqueline, has been engaged in ministry for 23 years. You're a member of the Greek Orthodox Church, which has been engaged in Turkey for a long time. Clerics cannot even wear their clerical garb in public in Turkey.
No. Under the rules that have been set by the regime in Turkey, a Greek Orthodox priest, and remember, this was the heart of the Byzantine, the Eastern Roman Empire. Christianity was St. Paul's footsteps are followed as we go through Asia Minor. priests are not allowed to wear their robes, their cassocks in public. If you are a priest of the Greek Orthodox Church, for example, and you are visiting Constantinople or Istanbul to visit the Patriarchate, you've got to come in with a suit, with a coat and a tie, or an open shirt. You go to the Patriarchate, and there behind closed doors, behind the wall with this Patriarchate, you can then put on your clerical vestments.
Yeah, so this is what they're going through, and this is what's going on in Turkey. Now, Jacqueline, I think it's important for people to understand what your parent, can you describe what happened when they, your family was, your father, initially your mother, were picked up by the Turkish officials?
Yes, actually, my parents had gone into the police station expecting to get their permanent residence permit. They expected to be living in Turkey forever and thought that the call was actually a good one. And then the next thing they know, they're having terror written down on their file, and they're told that they're going to be deported. Now, all of this happened, and they weren't even able to contact me, so I found out a few days later. And from the time that they were taken up until I think about 2.5 weeks later when my mom was released, my family had no news of what was happening. We just knew that something was really, really wrong.
Were you in Turkey at the time, or were you in school in the United States?
I was in the U.S. at the time.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I think this is something that people want to understand. What is life like in Turkey generally? You grew up there. I mean, you've got, you know, you've been in Turkey most of your adult life, or most of your life. What is life like there right now?
Well, right now it's definitely changing from when I was there. But when I was in Turkey, I mean, I went to a normal school there. I went to church. I had my family and friends. The culture is very much, I would say, it's similar to culture and life in Europe, just a bit more of the Middle Eastern aspect
yep.
mixed into it. To me, it was normal. It was my home. It was my life.
So, Andy, we've talked about this before, and we've studied this a couple years back. And I mean, it was in a strange twist of reality that we're dealing with. We studied this issue of Turkey's continued Islamization, which is what's happening here.
Right.
And they pick out the phrase, as I've said, I keep saying, a Christianization. We're talking to Jacqueline. Her family was living there for, you know, 23 years without any issues. And now all of a sudden we're in a situation right now where over the last several years, things have changed radically on the ground.
And we saw this in our Oxford Center book, and that Burning Bridges, Jay. This is an important book, and it really details in great depth and with great understanding and analytical ability what has happened to Turkey. Turkey has become an authoritarian regime. It is no longer the Turkey of Ataturk turning toward the West, getting rid of the Fez, getting rid of the Arabic alphabet, replacing it with Western letters, okay?
Right.
Trying to bring Turkey into the modern world. It has changed significantly. Now, what Pastor Brunson's daughter said, yes, growing up in her lifetime, but it has emerged and evolved into a repressive regime. I was only there 2 or 3 years ago, and when the Pope visited the Patriarchate, you could get wine at the Ritz-Carlton. Today, only 3 years later, you cannot get a drink of wine at the Ritz-Carlton.
And this used to be, they were Western, in a more of a Western mindset, and that's changed. Now, Jacqueline, I think it's important, again, to focus on what your family's going through. You've gotten married. Your father was not there for that. Graduations from school, your father was not there for. Tell me what this is like for you. I think it's very important for our audience to understand what it's like, what your family's going through here.
It's been very difficult because from the very day that this all started a year and a half ago, I kept thinking, okay, this has to end soon. This has to have a quick resolution. And it's just kept dragging on. So every day has been filled with uncertainty and that question of, is today the day, or how much do I keep postponing events in my own life to wait for my dad to honor him? Like I got married, but I still hadn't had a wedding because I promised my dad that he would walk me down the aisle. I graduated from school, which my dad helped me get through. He helped me plan my program, and he wasn't there to see that. Neither of my parents were. So a lot of life events have now been experienced on my own without my family there, which is pretty painful.
So I want our audience to, I'm glad that Jacqueline's calling in to talk to us, because I think it's important for you to understand what the family's going through. Cece, we saw another side of this, and this will be painful for Jacqueline, so I don't want to get in detail, but there was no question from talking with Ambassador Brownback and the words we've got from Senator Tillis and others that this was a very emotional moment at the end of this trial.
It was, Pastor
Brunson.
Or
the day one of the trial.
Absolutely. He was distraught and hopeless. And like Jacqueline shared, he is now back in the prison where he lost the 50 pounds, where the days were dark for him there. And, you know, after he was transferred, at least he got back a little bit of hope. And now he's right back in the situation that just drained him and almost destroyed him.
Yeah, so this is the reality on the ground. Jacqueline, I know you probably have spoken with your mother since the first day of this trial is over. What was your sense there? I know this is very tough for her.
I would say, I only talked to my mom for 5 minutes because it was a really long trial, and getting there and getting back took a lot of time, and it was just an emotionally draining day. But what I got from that is just, it was difficult for my dad. It was difficult for my mom having to sit through that, listen to these accusations. And then my dad being sent back to this overcrowded prison, I was told that that's when he really broke down. He'd held up pretty well throughout the rest of it, but that's when he really felt crushed.
Yeah.
He was going back to this place that was so difficult for him.
Yeah, let me go to Than Benner, our Director of Governmental Affairs. Than, the urgency situation here now is acute. I mean, there's no question about it. What are you hearing right now? But also, we've got to, you know, we've got to get into a different dialogue with Turkey on this.
You just have to. You heard it right there from Jacqueline, I think, Jay. I think the United States sent a message by sending Ambassador Brownback and Senator Tillis to be in the room. But here's the reality. Turkey sent a message right back by sending Pastor Brunson back to this prison. So, Jay, to me, the answer is very simple. It's unequivocal. This would be the worst time for the United States to stand down. They have got to stand up. I will tell you, the fact that the vice president has already reached out and called Noreen, I think, is a great sign that they are going to do just that. But look, it can't be just the president and the vice president and the ambassador. It has got to be both houses of Congress. It's got to be the House and the Senate. It's got to be all layers of government. Jay, the United States government, over this next 3 weeks, they must speak with one voice on behalf of an innocent citizen who is imprisoned on the other side of the world. That's the only answer here.
Jacqueline, let me ask you this, or let me tell you this. We've got everybody that's listening to this broadcast around the world is praying for you and your family, for your dad and for your mom and for your entire family. And know we are working aggressively to secure his release, doing everything we can, but praying that we get the result here that is the release of your father from captivity. So please let your family know we're not only continuing, we're doubling our efforts on this case and for your family. Thanks for being with
us. My family thanks you all so much. Thank you.
All right, Jacqueline. Jacqueline's the daughter of Pastor Andrew Brunson. Hey, folks, this is pray for the release of this pastor. We're doing everything we can legally. We need a miracle here. This is a situation where, you know, we've been in this situation before in other cases. This is as dire as anyone we've been in. We really need your help on this. Pray for this pastor and his family. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We just heard from Jacqueline Pester, Andrew Brunson's daughter. And this situation is, as I said, is dire, and we're doing everything we can. I'm going to go right back up to Washington. Than there was an ambassador for the United States in the courtroom. There was embassy staff in the courtroom. There was a sitting U.S. senator in the courtroom. International press, I mean, I'm holding a stack of international press, were there in force. And the end result is the Turks send him to a prison that's worse, as if to send a message back to the United States.
It was to send a message back to the United States, Jay, because all of that that you talked about happened after the president of the United States talked to the president of Turkey and after the vice president engaged specifically. Look, this was a political message, and so the United States needs to respond in a political fashion. And what do I mean by that? There are a lot of levers, a lot of leverage that can be used. It starts with small things like dollars to Turkey. It also involves security partnerships and the rest. But, Jay, here's the big one. It involves leveraging our allies to put pressure on Turkey in a multilateral way. It means multiple nations. It means the United Nations. It means a full around-the-globe effort. Yes, it starts with the president, but, Jay, it goes through every level of the bureaucracy and every level of elected politicians as well.
You know, we know the United Nations is their arbitrary detention committees looking at it. I mean, do it. I mean, this is where this is getting to the land of the absurd, okay? Turkey's a NATO ally, and I think I think what Than said is right. We've got to hit it on all cylinders, multilateral, multi-agency, multi-governmental, other governments getting involved. We better deploy these assets, too, including these ambassadors that are still not confirmed. Mike Pompeo, the incoming Secretary of State. But, Andy, they are entrenched. There's no doubt they sent a message or tried to send a message back to the United States on this. And let me play first. Here's Erdogan. Here's what he said about what's going on here. So don't think there's no hidden secret. This is exactly what they're doing.
The Americans tell us, give us the pasta back. But you have a cleric as well. Give him to us. Then we'll try your pasta and give him to you.
Yeah, listen to what this exchange is. Give us our cleric back, and then we'll try your pastor and give him to you. So that trial, by the way, could go on for 10 years, because that's how they... I mean, that's part of what you're facing here, Cece.
That's correct. It's not like a trial in the United States that is, you know, plays out in one consecutive sweep. This is one where we saw yesterday, or 2 days ago, was the first day of the trial. Now the next day is May 7th.
So there is, I want to, again, we talked about this briefly yesterday. I want to say it again, then I'm going to go into tell you what we're doing now. But Andy, this is not I called it in the beginning of the broadcast, a sham proceeding.
This is a terrorist proceeding. It's a Stalinist-style show trial. It's being put on by the Turks because we are holding, they claim, Fethullah Gulen, and they want him back, and they said, we'll give your pastor a trial, and then we'll turn him back. That's not the way it goes. You're innocent until you're proven guilty in any civilized court. Turkey is moving east when it should be moving west. And it's moving back into the days of the dark days of the Sultanate, with Erdogan being the Sultan in charge and making these ridiculous pronouncements. Jay, this court, I look at this indictment in this case. I read a document from the very top. Republic of Turkey, the Office of Chief Public Prosecutor, Terror and Organized Crime Bureau. A pastor, an American Protestant pastor who has been in Turkey for 23 years, who was not even there when the coup against Erdogan was generated, who then went back, is now being accused of crimes, including Christianization. What a terrible crime that is, yep. Of course, by the Terror and Organized Crime Bureau of the Turkish government. How ridiculous is that?
It's absurd. But what we've got to do now, as we work on the multilateral aspect of this and we work on the governmental aspect, is we also have to prepare for this sham trial. It is a sham trial. So, Cece, I think it's important for... We've got almost a dozen witnesses that you're dealing with across the globe, literally.
Yes.
And these witnesses so far are coming... What are you... Let people understand what you're doing, what the process is here. Even though this trial we know is a sham, we still have to put up the evidence.
Right. And May 7th will be the first time that we'll actually be able to bring our witnesses. So that's... Yes.
We have no
supposedly,
guarantee.
Supposedly, no guarantee.
Listen, that's on May 7th?
That's on May 7th.
You understand, though, everybody... that on May 6th or May 7th that morning, they could cancel the trial. There's no proceeding. There's no motion to set a trial aside. They just do it. But always go ahead.
Right. So that will be the first, May 7th will be the first time, if it happens, that we'll be able to present witnesses in defense. And so it's going through a 62-page indictment, seeing what their accusations are, and then preparing the witnesses that we will put on in defense of Pastor Brunson.
So it's a, you're talking about multiple time zones around the globe to get the witnesses. But again, the trial, this is not a real trial. Now, Than, I want to go right back up to this point, and that is, what is it that what are the proposals on the table right now on sanctioning Turkey on this?
Well, there's a number of them, Jay. Some of them have already been leveraged. I know Senator Lankford has another package that he wants to engage in. And look, sanctions have to be part of the picture. But, Jay, I think the most important thing is for the United States to speak with clarity back. You know, the Turkey says this is about Fethullah Gulen. Jay, the United States is not holding Fethullah Gulen.
Right.
He is a free man here in the United States. That is not the same thing as imprisoning an American citizen on the other side of the world for Christianization. So our government at every layer, yes, sanctions have to be on the table. But first of all, they have to be able to respond with clarity to the Turkish government, who is conflating two very different situations. One, a man who is living free, not held by the United States government. And the other, an American pastor who's been in prison for a year and a half before his first day in a courtroom. That's the first thing they've got to communicate.
Well, I mean, you heard Jacqueline, the daughter's words here. I mean, this is indescribable grief they're in here. I mean, here's what the problem is. They are digging their heels in, and we have the ability to dig our heels in much tougher than the Turks. And we've got to ratchet this up. As I said, the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, members of Congress are reaching out, but it's taking more than that now. And that may mean the community of nations has to get together on this, which I will tell you, the coverage has been that way. The media coverage has been global here. But we have to have the community of nations condemning this act, because this is Turkey playing a political game, Andy.
It is a political game, and the Turks are very good at playing political games. They've played them for centuries. They know exactly what they're doing, and they know exactly how to do it. They've played political games since the time of the Turkish invasions of the Balkans and of the Eastern Roman Empire. But we have to be, and we have to realize this attitude that is taken. This is an attitude that understands one response, Jay, and that response is force. I'm not necessarily talking about military force, but as you said, the force of world and global opinion. What Chancellor Merkel did when they imprisoned the journalist.
Right.
She said, "You want him out? You want missiles? You get him out. Otherwise, no missiles." They cut them. She gave the missiles back. She said, "No missiles," and they said, "No, we want the missiles, and therefore we're going to let the German journalist out." There are more journalists in prison in Turkey today than in any other country of the world. I think it's 150 journalists who are in prison. It's not a free nation. This trial is a joke.
Benjamin Disraeli, the famed prime minister for Great Britain, said these words, that diplomacy is war without violence. So this is war without force. And this is not military action we're talking about. We're going to be joined by our senior military analyst towards the end of the broadcast. But what this is a situation where we've got to use all our diplomatic assets here in the United States and literally around the globe to get this pastor released. But we're at a different stage in this proceeding right now. As this next trial comes up, as I said, in the next several weeks, you're not going to be hearing a lot about this case, although I know CC is going to be doing a lot of interviews around the country to radio stations, but you're not going to be hearing a lot from our broadcast as Lentz News warrants, because we've got to get 10 witnesses, at least, maybe a dozen, prepared. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
podcast, everyone. This is day three of our coverage of the case of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. We know that the hearing has been now delayed until May 7th. We had the first day of the hearing. The second day of the hearing is about to start scheduled for May 7th. We have about 3 weeks, a little less than that, to get witnesses together. And our team here in the United States is actually, C.C. Heil, our senior counsel, is actually working on obtaining almost a dozen witness statements for the defense. Now, we're understanding, again, it's a sham trial. This isn't reality. But we've got to put the evidence up because that helps us on the diplomatic front. But the reality is you've got almost a dozen witnesses as far from Turkey to the United States to Australia, all over the globe, that we're trying to coordinate for the defense here. But here's the problem. The problem is that the Turks have really doubled down on this. And we have to understand the sham trial, even though it's a sham, we have to be fully prepared. So in the next couple of weeks, you're not going to be hearing a lot from us on this as we're preparing this next phase of the case. But I want you to know that we're working here at the American Center for Law and Justice. But we've reached a critical crossroads here on this case. Now, we think that on May 7th, the testimony of the defense, that would be our case, will go forward. Is that what are they done with their witnesses?
They're not done with their witnesses. And in fact, they actually had a second day scheduled for the trial, but they didn't go through with that. Although, again, we are told that May 7th will be the day that we can start our defense, it could be that they'll bring their witnesses again and we'll finish with their witnesses. We don't know. But we have to be prepared and are prepared that it'll be our chance to put on witnesses and to discredit their secret witnesses.
So they're secret witnesses. I mean, this is a sham of such significant proportion that it almost feels like the world is being duped, okay? Because you've got nations of the world that are allowing this to go on. Now, having said that, you don't have military options here, but the diplomatic options have to be taken, Andy, to an entirely different level.
Well, they do, Jay, and I think your quotation from Disraeli is right. Diplomacy is the art of getting things done without warfare, and I'm not advocating, and I don't think any of us advocate warfare in this case, but what we are advocating is to the Turks, become a humane nation if you can possibly do that, and I know it overcomes a lot of your history to do that. Become a nation that is humane and understanding. You don't have a hostage charging him with, and I'm looking at the crime, Jay, and I'm looking at the indictment. You know what the crime is? The crime they're charging, and I'm quoting from the indictment, political or military espionage.
Yeah.
Spying, espionage, undermining the Turkish Republic, trying to break it apart. A man who has devoted his life for 23 years to doing this horrible thing. Christianization.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing that he did in the land of St. Paul.
So, yeah. Than, let's talk about what we've been to the UN on this a couple of different times, I think three times now. What is your sense of what the next move is?
I really think the next move that will make a difference, Jay, comes on an international level. I mean, you've established very well that this is now a political game for Turkey, but the price is currently being paid by an innocent American pastor. We have to turn the tables and make sure that the political price for that game now is inflicted on Turkey. The way you do that, you exert U.S. pressure through sanctions and other measures. But, Jay, you also engage the international community, the countries around the world that will stand with the United States and not tolerate this. Jay, it has to become politically untenable for Turkey to keep this ruse up. Until that happens, they're going to continue behaving as it is. We can get into some of the details on this, but Jay, if you're going to do that, you need a Secretary of State and you need ambassadors in countries who will ally with you. We don't have a couple of those right now.
Yeah, this is a critical situation on that too. I mean, Germany, who's got an influence, as you saw on this, has been able to, in a very significant way, I think very significantly, put pressure on the Turkish government to get their journalists released. We don't have an ambassador confirmed to Germany. He's sitting on the floor of the United States Senate. Confirm Rick Grenell. Confirm, for goodness sake. I think this is important, too. Mike Pompeo. Let's get this done. We don't have the option of not getting it done. So, again, we go into witness preparation mode effective today. Well, we've been in it, but now, really, we've got 3 weeks to get these 12 witnesses lined up. So we encourage you to be in prayer for our legal team, but more important, be in prayer for this pastor and for those involved. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the situation with Pastor Andrew Brunson now. The next trial date is May 7th, or at least that's what's planned. We're working on witness preparation right now, as I told you. And as we mentioned on the broadcast yesterday, Ambassador Brownback, who's the Ambassador at Large for Religious Freedom, Senator Tillis, were in the courtroom in Turkey when the day one of the proceeding happened. Now, it's not like the United States where you have day one, then day two. Here you have day one, and then it's 3 weeks later, you have day two. That's what we're dealing with. But also on the reality that we have and what we're dealing with is the fact that there's a diplomatic component, but there's also the reality is there is a political component to this. And I think we have to be clear on that. Than the politics of this are pretty significant, but we are trying to get this up to the next level, so to speak.
They really are, Jay. And Senator Lankford's been a good champion for us on this. I'm actually holding up a letter that it just actually last February, 78 members of the House and Senate side. And Senator Lankford was key in that. He's actually been over to Turkey as well to engage on this case, been personally involved with the family. But I would just tell you this, Jay, just very simply put, Turkey has now made this a political and diplomatic effort. So our response has to be political and diplomatic. We have to respond in like fashion and make sure that we engage them on that level.
All right. So let's set the stage, because a lot of people have been asking about why can't we send in a military strike force? Why, first of all, they're a NATO ally. But I've got our senior military analyst, Wes Smith, in the studio here with us. So Wes, let's talk about the strategic issues involving Turkey as it relates to NATO and the United States.
Right. It would be unthinkable and actually a violation of NATO's charter for a member of NATO to take any kind of military action against another member. And yet, let's be very clear here. Andrew Brunson is not a prisoner. He's not a detainee. He is a hostage. This is behavior much like Iran and North Korea. We expect it from them. But the idea that a NATO country would take a citizen of another NATO country and hold them hostage is unimaginable. Can you imagine Belgium or France or Germany taking a U.S. citizen hostage, or us taking one of their citizens hostage? It simply is inconceivable.
You know, we spoke to Jacqueline, who's the daughter of Andrew Brunson. You've been asking us diplomatically what we've done. We've taken it to the U.N. Human Rights Council, and Jacqueline actually testified before the Human Rights Council. Let's go ahead and play that.
I pass the floor to the European Center for Law and Justice.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm here today on behalf of the ECLJ, who is representing my father, Pastor Andrew Brunson, the innocent United States citizen who has been wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey now for almost a year and a half, and yet he has still not been formally charged with any crime. Having grown up in Turkey, it has been hard for me to understand the situation. My family loves and respects the Turkish people, and my father has been dedicated to serving them for over two decades. I know the allegations against him are absurd. He is not an armed terrorist trying to overthrow any government. My father is a peaceful pastor. My family has suffered greatly during the past year and a half, which has been filled with tears and countless unanswered questions. I visited my father last August, and we sobbed the entire visit. It was hard to see him so broken, so thin, so desperate. He wrote a note last week which said, "Let it be clear. I am in prison not for anything I have done wrong, but because of who I am, a Christian pastor. I desperately miss my wife and children. Yet, I believe this to be true. It is an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ, as many have before me. My deepest thanks to all those around the world who are standing with and praying for me. Turkey should not get away with holding my father one more day. Please make any and all efforts to secure my father's release and safe return to the United States. He's been falsely imprisoned for far too long. Thank you."
And he still is imprisoned. I mean, that was an impassioned plea from his daughter. You heard from her live on the broadcast, but he's still in prison. So the UN is looking at this diplomatically, which is fine. We're working on that. But again, I want to go back to kind of the let me eliminate some scenarios for you. There's not a realistic, there's no military option here. We're not, they're not going to send in a strike force to remove the pastor. It's just not reality. And Wes, so the force here is diplomatic force. It's not, you're not going to get a victory in the courtroom, although you have to prepare for it like you could, because you've got a, it's world opinion here. We can't let him accuse him of terrorism when we know he's charged really with Christianization, which means what? He's a pastor of a church. But the reality is, this is not a, I think it's important for people to understand, it's not a military option here.
Absolutely not. Even though Turkey is an unreliable ally, even though they violated the spirit and the expressed, you know, policies of NATO, there is no military option. And interestingly enough, NATO has no provision for dismissing a member state who violates their charter and their values and their principles. But that does not mean that we cannot take action. There has been precedent in the past, both in Turkey and in Greece, when there was civil unrest, that NATO, you know, took action to give sanctions against them, that kind of thing. I think that's what needs to happen. It's time to put our relationship with Turkey on the line. It's time for strong measures, and that includes verbal, diplomatic, and economic measures, not only by us, but by the other 27 members of NATO minus Turkey.
All right, so Than, what are the sanction measures moving through Congress?
Well, and actually, I'm glad Wes said that. It's got to be on a multilateral level. Senator Lankford has a package of U.S.-based sanctions, mostly asset freezing, that he has pushed forward. And he is now, I'm pretty confident, in light of yesterday's trial, going to push for a floor vote on those. But, Jay, even he will tell you that that will not be effective because of how rich Turkey is, unless it's a multilateral effort. So they've got to feel isolated in the world is essentially where we're at, Jay. They have to realize that other nations are going to stand with the United States and defend our innocent pastor as well. So again, you start domestically, but you have to engage through the United Nations and through your diplomats around the world. And you need to have all your diplomats, by the way, in order for Turkey to feel that squeeze.
And we know that the situation with Turkey, it's that we've talked about the changing environment and the difficulty in the region, but they are a powerhouse economy. Their GDP is $850 billion. They are a world economy.
It is. I've been to Turkey many times. It is, if you look at Istanbul, it's like a major European city. It's got 16 million inhabitants in it. Of course, if you go in the interior of Turkey, in Cappadocia, in the areas of what was known as Asia Minor, it's very rural, it's very agricultural, but it's a big producing country. It is, as we have always said, the bridge, or they like to think, the bridge between East and West. The problem is they are burning that bridge. Erdogan is destroying that nexus between East and West. And instead of moving toward the West, there is a definite trend moving toward the East and making it one of the chief Islamic nations of the world, instead of Ataturk's idea that it's a Western country.
So, Cece, let me ask you this. On the, just from the scope of dealing with the lawyer that we have in Turkey, who's the family, and is a very brave lawyer, I have to say, number one, to even take on the representation. Because we know lawyers that we've worked with in Turkey, by the way, that have been picked up by the police and the security forces. We know that when we represented the Greek Orthodox Patriarchate and their lawyer had been detained. So, I mean, these kind of things happen. But what is his sense of this case? I mean, I saw the press statement where he said we're going to win the trial, but what is his sense of what's going on here?
Right, and that was his really his sense going into it on the first day of the trial is.
But we know that it's. But we know that the whole thing is a sham. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't want people thinking that there's a reality on. You know, they may find if they find him not guilty, it's because they want a way to get him back with quote sowing we're an independent judiciary. Which listen, I would take that as a win in any moment. I take it right now and say great, ship him back to the United States with his wife. But that's not the reality on the ground unless they're doing it for political purposes. What is his sense?
And absolutely. He said from the beginning, this is a political case. It could go on for 2 to 10 years. That's how political cases go.
2 to 10 years. Go ahead.
Right. And but he's trying to change that narrative and say you need to try him in a fair trial. He's trying to say this is not a political case. You cannot treat it as a political case. He's an innocent pastor, and you need to let him go.
But, Andy, they're not going to. I mean, like I said, they'll find him not guilty if that's their way to say we have an independent judiciary. We told you that. We found him not guilty. We're shipping him back. But, short, this is not really a deliberative body in any sense of Western thought.
No, we can't. We can't think of it as a, as an American court with an American trial and the due process and constitutional rights that we normally ascribe to a trial in a case. This is a political show trial. Erdogan has made it that. Erdogan has said, and we've heard it on this program, that he has said, you have a pastor, I have a pastor. You give me your pastor, I'll have a trial, and then I'll give you your... What do you mean, I'll have a trial, and then I'll give you your pastor? That's ridiculous. In other words,
they'll be found guilty, and they'll say, oh, we can't, we'd like to let him go, we can't.
But we can't.
Right.
That's right. So it's the height of hypocrisy, and that's what the Turkish government has degenerated into today.
Wes, you served in the military for a long time. Turkey, until the last probably 8 or 9 years, even 5 years ago, was considered a real ally of the United States.
One of
Israel's.
Yes, one of our strongest allies. They took a stand against radical Islamists before Erdogan came to power. For years, when I was in the Army, to be stationed in Turkey was a big deal. Everyone wanted to be stationed there. It was that kind of a relationship, and that's simply not the case now.
We're going to be joined by our director of policy as well. Our entire panel is going to stay here. As I said, I want to say it again. You're not going to be probably hearing much about this case, and it's certainly not going to be in the media like it was until we get closer to the next trial date. But I want you to know that the ACLJ, our team's working really around the clock on this. Cece Howell and her team are working around the clock on what is a very important case with dire consequences right now, and we want to see this pastor released. And it's going to take multilateral negotiations. We've got to, you know, activate every resource, every asset we have to secure this pastor's release. We're going to do just that. We're going to continue to work on his behalf. When we come back from the break, we'll get a policy analyst approach to this. We'll talk to our panel as well. Much more to come. And follow this at ACLJ.org or on social media.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the last segment of the broadcast here. And as I said, this is our final day of major coverage on this case that has garnered international attention. And as we've said, the ACLJ, our European Center for Law and Justice, are all working on this globally. I mean, this is to get this passed to release. Joining us right now in the studio, in addition to our senior military analyst and our senior counsel, Andy Economo, and our senior military analyst, Wes Smith, is our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson. So, Professor Hutchinson, let me talk to you about this. Your sense of now day three of our coverage, but really we're reaching, this is, I've said this is dire, but we're reaching also a critical crossroads. We have 3 weeks of witness prep. I mean, that's what's ahead here for a trial that's a show trial, a political show trial at best. But we got to present the evidence, because if you don't present the evidence, they're going to use that against the pastor. So we're in a very difficult spot in that sense. We can't we know it's a sham, but we can't acknowledge in the courtroom it's a sham, although the media around the world is, because we've got to put the evidence forward. But go ahead.
Well, we need to continue to place pressure on Turkey. It's important to note that the Brunson case takes place against an insidious history of anti-Christian bias. Turkey used to be a bridge between the West and the East. It is no longer the case. And so we need to consider sanctions and other efforts to bring political pressure to bear on Turkey to advance this case.
So, Than, when we talk about sanctions, is there a reality, both domestically and internationally, that we're going to get anything through Congress? I mean, we need to.
I think there is a reality, Jay, and I think that has to happen. But look, I also think it has to be combined with the attention of the world on it. Now, fortunately, the eyes of the world are on it. You have warned about how the next 3 weeks, a lot of that will wane. I think it is incumbent on our politicians to pass sanctions, to pass leverage. But here's the other thing, Jay, also to speak forcefully and loudly over those 3 weeks so that Turkey knows that they cannot do this except in the light of day. That is what will keep not only pressure on the rest of the world to invoke sanctions, but also the rest of the world understanding exactly what is happening here. And Jay, final point on this that the politicians need to make. When Erdogan says, give us our cleric, they need to respond with this. We don't have your cleric. He's a free man. You're the one imprisoning the pastor.
Well, that's exactly correct. And this again, is part of the farce, Harry, of what they're trying to paint this portrait of. We needed this swap. First of all, I didn't even believe that they would do a swap. And we're not going to swap. How do you swap a person that's here legally in the United States? They brought an extradition charge against them. That is the Turkish government. It didn't even clear the first hurdle. So that's the reality of what's on the ground here.
Just as there is no credible evidence that Brunson has engaged in terrorism, there's no credible evidence that would support an extradition for Fethullah Gulen. So the Turkish case is extremely weak for trading Gulen for Brunson.
Yeah, I don't even think that. I mean, that's where it's the politics. I want to go back to the military issues. What is our military relationship, West, with Turkey right now? We used to be very close allies. Mm-hmm. They used to training and everything, military assets. They get a lot of assets, military equipment from the United States. What is our situation right now with Turkey?
Right. As a member of NATO, one of the things most people don't realize is NATO, all of their weapons and their weapon systems are interoperable. They do that on purpose so that they can defend each other, they can resupply one another. So we have supplied and armed Turkey for decades, and yet just recently, and I think this is very telling, Turkey, under the protest of the other NATO members, has agreed to buy a long-range S-400 missile system from Russia. And so it's time for NATO to stand shoulder to shoulder. There, you know, NATO was formed to stand against the tyranny of the Soviet Union. Erdogan and Turkey are exhibiting the very things that NATO was founded to counter.
So, Andy, we look at that. I mean, the Russia-Turkey history had been very troubled for a long time. And now all of a sudden they're an allies in a sense.
They are. Didn't we have a case in which there was a plane shot down?
Yeah, right.
And a foreign diplomat, I think a Russian diplomat, was killed, I think, in Turkey. And now suddenly they become the closest of allies. because they have a common enemy, it seems to me,
right.
And that's the United States, because they are now being pushed together. And I think you have to look at the history of Russo-Turkish relationships to understand that these are strange bedfellows, but bedfellows indeed they are today, as Wes has pointed out.
So, Harry, when you look at this from a policy standpoint, what should the U.S. be doing? I'm going to get to Than on what's actually going to happen or what we think might happen. But what should the United States be doing, and what should our allies around the globe be doing on this case?
Well, one thing that we can do, which would place indirect pressure on Turkey, is to continue to place additional sanctions on Russia designed to break apart this alliance or emerging alliance between Putin and Erdogan. That is certainly something that we should consider. In addition, we should marshal all of our resources within the international community to continue to bring Brunson's case to the fore in terms of media and in terms of pursuing actions in the UN or in other international forums.
So, Than, your view, you're our designated representative to the United Nations. We've been aggressive on this. Do you sense any movement there?
I do. I think it's going to have to be the United States pushing them, Jay. I mean, the United States has led on this. They're going to have to engage in the allies. And I think the UN allies should engage in similar sanctions that the United States should, Jay. For instance, here is one. The United States could block Turkish officials from entering the United States really for any reason until this is resolved. That is something that the Appropriations Committee has put forward. I think they should do it. I think our allies should do it as well. I mean, just technically how this would work, Jay, here's one problem with that, though. You know who the official is responsible for making sure that a bar like that happens? It's the Secretary of State. So if you're going to pass that sanction, you have to have a Secretary of State in place to actually enforce it. So both those things have to happen together.
So, Senator, you know, we're talking about the diplomatic in the United States. Senator Tillis was actually from North Carolina, was in the courtroom when this was going on. Pastor Brunson's from North Carolina. Here's what he said.
This pastor was in the United States after the coup and after Erdogan was rounding up people all across the country. Does anybody really believe that he would have traveled back to a country that he felt like he could have been swept up into that?
So there you have it. And justice is not going to be served because it's not real. But I'm glad, I really appreciate Senator Tillis being there. But Andy, this is, I call this a sham trial, but it's a sham trial where we can't take, we don't have the luxury of not presenting the evidence because they will use the sham trial and no evidence against him.
That's right. I mean, you've got to put up a defense. American Center for Law and Justice, through our senior counsel, C.C. Isle, is coordinating that with over a dozen witnesses worldwide, putting them together for whatever good it is, but nonetheless, it has to serve some purpose. She's getting together the witnesses for when this trial resumes, whenever that may be. We don't know. We think it's in May, but as you pointed out, this is not a nation that is subject to due process or equal protection or constitutional protections that we in the United States are familiar with.
All right. Well, folks, that is going to do it for the broadcast on this. As I said, we're going to spend the next 3 weeks preparing these witnesses. Let me go quickly to Harry Hutchinson, literally 20 seconds here. Harry, when you look at this, bottom line, what do you think happens next? What should happen next?
Well, we have to continue to bring pressure to bear on Turkey, and we have to do it in the political, military, and other spheres, because Turkey right now is not committed to the rule of law. And they are committed to playing politics with human lives.
But they get military assets from the United States.
We'll do to the tune of billions of dollars. And what's at stake is not just American values, it's NATO values.
Well,
we need to stand shoulder to shoulder.
We don't take military action against them, but we can stop getting them military equipment. And that, you know, look, I think all options need to be on the table on this. Pray for this pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for our legal team that's working on this case. But I really want you praying for this pastor who's now back in this awful jail. We'll have more developments as it warrants. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the air.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity. Turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.